Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. My name is Doug Wortham, and I have the distinct pleasure of hosting today's show. Today, we're going to have a conversation about the Minnesota Veterans Homes. We're going to hear about honor flights, and we'll check in with the Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, almost 30 people a day are killed in drunk driving crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it is important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to talk about the Minnesota Veterans Homes is Eric Maitinen and Doug Britton. Eric is the Deputy Commissioner for Veterans Health Care, was appointed that position in May of 2023, and Doug is the Campus Administrator for the Minneapolis Veterans Home, and he took that position on in December of 2023. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah,
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good to have you. And Doug, we're having you in the studio for the first time, and we'll get to know you in just a minute. But I do want to start with you, Eric. We first met about a year ago. We had you in the studio. We talked about you coming into this new position as the deputy commissioner, and you've had a pretty interesting first year on the job. So yes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how things are going inside the Minnesota Veteran Homes?
Doug, thank you for having us again on your show. It's really a wonderful opportunity for us. It has been a whirlwind of opportunities this year with really positive, exciting activity. You know, we've accomplished a lot. We've opened three new veterans homes located in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. Earlier this year, we've accomplished this, and now we're moving forward with our VA survey recognition, where we have admitted approximately 20 residents into the homes. We're going to pass that VA survey recognition, and then we'll be able to hire more staff and admit more residents into these wonderful settings. At each home, we've just had just wonderful support by our communities, by our staff, and by our volunteers, and we are super excited to complete the VA survey recognition, which is like a form of inspections from the VA, and then we'll be able to move forward with regards to additional admissions. We're going to have some dedication ceremonies coming up, and those are scheduled for May 31st in Montevideo, Minnesota, June 27th in Preston, Minnesota, and then July 1st in Bemidji, Minnesota. And we would like to invite everyone who would like to attend. It's really open to everybody.
Well, I have to let you know that I had the opportunity to visit the Bemidji home just after it had opened up. And holy cats, what a wonderful sight that is.
It's beautiful. It really is. The community support that is there really recognizes that. And from the get-go with the first resident who was admitted, he was so happy and pleased to be there, and everybody thereafter as well.
Yeah, great facility. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Doug, I'd like to add, though, that we have wonderful quality care and highly satisfied staff and employees and residents in the rest of our homes as well. We've got some awards that we've won.
You have, well, mm-hmm. We're going to hear about those awards then.
Definitely. We'll say that the other veterans homes continue to provide excellent care in Fergus Falls and Laverne Veterans Homes. They were recently recognized as one of the best nursing homes for 2024 by U.S. News and World Report magazine. And for the sixth year in a row, the Fergus Falls, Laverne, Minneapolis, and Silver Bay Veterans Homes received Pinnacle Quality Insight Customer Experience Awards for their skilled nursing facilities. And we're really just elated with these results and the continued level of support that we get from our staff and from our communities.
Well, I think it just speaks volumes to the level of care that you all are able to provide to our veterans. And in many cases, this will be the last residence that they have. And to be able to give them that great quality of life and quality of care for those last years is just a great testament to you, to your leadership, and the team that you have around you.
Thank you. And just building on that, Doug and I Doug Britton, that is, received a letter from the wife of a resident recently, and she just went on and on in that letter about how wonderful the last few years of her spouse's life were in our residence at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. So it's just a symbol of the great care that we provide.
You know, in addition to bragging about the Minnesota Veterans Homes and the recognition, Best mm-hmm. Nursing Home, Pinnacle Quality Awards, you've got a special week kind of set aside. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this week and what that means to you, to your staff?
Definitely, we do. It's a Minnesota Veterans Home Week is what we're calling it, and it's an annual celebration of our veterans home staff. The infrastructure of the buildings are important, but our staff really make the big difference on a daily basis and provide us with great results for our veterans that we serve in our homes. So in 2024, this a celebration is going to occur from May 12th to the 18th, which also coincides with the Skilled Nursing Homes Week. The theme of this year is Making Memories Together. So this is incredibly appropriate because our employees take every possible opportunity to build beautiful memories for our veterans during every interaction that they have, be that at mealtime, on-site activities, community outings, or just sitting and relaxing with the veterans throughout the day. We're so grateful for our employees and their commitment each day. And especially during this week, we'd just like to thank them as they shine a light on the staff for the joy that they bring to create an environment of fabulous care for our veterans and with safe, respectful, and dignified care as well.
And we know that you rely on that staff. I mean, that's how you are able to get the recognition that you all receive. I do want to make sure we get Doug an opportunity to talk a little bit here in this segment before we run out of time here in about 3 minutes or so. But so Doug, again, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. And I'm looking at your resume. You've been an administrator before at one of the largest skilled nursing facilities in Minnesota. The note I have says that you are very passionate about caring for veterans, as both your father and brother are veterans from the Army. So Doug, how did the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs get so lucky to bring you into the organization?
Well, thank you, Doug.
God, you have a great name, too. I just want to point that out.
Yes, the name Doug has rung a bell with me for many years. But anyway, working with the Veterans Home is a truly honor and a privilege. I actually worked there as an interim administrator 17, 18 years ago, back when it was not under the Homes Board back then. And the facility back then was not anything of what we have today, Doug. It's so much more beautiful. The campus has been improved. The staffing has been enhanced. It is a much more vibrant and quality facility than it's ever been in its history. So I'm very proud to be there. We currently have nearly 300 residents just in the skilled nursing building. And also on our campus, we have the adult daycare center and the domiciliary, which has nearly 50 residents.
So I want to build on real quick here before we run out of time is obviously, the MDVA, excited to have you on the team. You've been on the team for about 6 months. Again, you're the campus administrator for the Minneapolis Veterans Home. And Eric was talking about, you know, this week that we're celebrating. What kind of stuff is happening out on your campus, though, to honor your people? Because you got, you know, the largest facility, right? The most inpatients, the 300, and a lot of staff.
Absolutely. We're actually the largest healthcare facility in the state of Minnesota, whether not only veterans, but overall. And we have a great week coming up here. We're going to have ice cream sundaes, music galore, bunny besties. That means the bunnies coming to visit the veterans. From other veterans groups are coming to visit to provide activities for the residents, including the Bloomington American Legion, the Paralyzed Vets of America, the Aquitanial Seniors, and Rosemont VFW are all coming in. We've got a real exciting week planned and great food, of course, barbecue and many other good things are going
to
happen.
Those are all great reasons for people to come out and visit. So I'll have to make sure I get that timeline. I mean, when you said ice cream, you had me. So we'll see if we can get that information. We're going to just stop right here and because I want to talk about some other things with the homes. But if I ask one more question, then I'll be cutting you off, and I don't want to do that to you. So this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll continue talking with the Minnesota Veterans Homes when we come back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the last segment, we are visiting with Eric Maitinen and Doug Britton from the Minnesota Veterans Homes. And one of the things we're talking about is the Veterans Home Week. And Eric, I want to come back to you because I think it's important that you recognize and honor those that work for you. And I also know that in the healthcare industry in general, there is a concern about filling vacant positions. You opened up three new homes. Talk to us about your recruiting efforts and what kind of help you need.
Thank you, Doug. At the Minnesota Veterans Homes, we believe that we're in a very unique opportunity to truly serve those who have served. That's our mission. And the staff who we are attracting, the new candidates, really believe in that, and they want to be a part of it. So for us, we have had better opportunities to attract staff than many other organizations across the state or even the country. Also, I believe that our culture attracts new employees and helps to retain staff who have worked with us for many years. We oftentimes are hearing that the staff that we presently have are suggesting to family members and friends to consider a job with us. So we are really proud of that culture. Additionally, in order to support our new staff, we have a good, strong culture that has great staffing ratios. We have competitive salaries, and we have generous benefits provided by the state of Minnesota. We highlight those in our recruiting efforts, and we are really, really pleased about that. We also want to say that we are engaged as leaders with our new staff and our presently existing staff. We want to provide access to them to help us to enhance our services that we're providing in our culture as well.
Well, yeah, and people should really consider working for the MDVA, especially, you know, if you have that soft spot for serving our veterans. What better way to do it than to serve those who have served, and in the healthcare industry is one of those great ways to do it. Doug, I do want to come back to you. You know, we talked a little bit about what you did before, and you kind of mentioned some of the differences that you've seen between what you used to do and then coming into the Minneapolis the healthcare system, working for the Minnesota Veterans Homes. So tell us a little bit more, if you can, maybe some of the differences, though, that you've seen from this home environment versus the skilled nursing environments that you've led.
Yeah, first of all, I got to say the Minnesota Veterans Home in Minneapolis is a hidden gem. It's on 54 acres of land in South Minneapolis, located right alongside the Mississippi River. Most people haven't actually even seen our campus, which is a shame, I think.
You know, I have to share with you real quick.
Beautiful.
You know, I normally don't try to interrupt people, but I brought my niece and nephew out to the park, and we rented one of them little pedal bike things. You know, you put four people in it, and we tooled right through the campus, across the bridge, went down, up, and through there. I don't know if I was supposed to be down there or not, but nobody stopped me. Now, I didn't break any security rules, but it is a beautiful campus.
Yes, it is. It is gorgeous. And not only is our campus gorgeous, located alongside the river and a park, we also have beautiful facilities there. We have a mixture of historic buildings that are over 130 years old, combined with the most modern healthcare facilities in the state of Minnesota. All of our 300 rooms that we're currently operating for in the skilled nursing facility are all, each resident gets a private room with a private bath and shower, and they're large private rooms.
And that's kind of unheard of.
That is
it?
Very unique in skilled nursing.
Yeah. So another reason why those who have served, if they need to move in that type of facility, you know, if you're eligible, you ought to get on that list.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to need that care.
It's almost like a small studio apartment that each resident gets, and it's a beautiful facility. And I'm telling you right now, the residents that are there, they love it there. And
well, that's wonderful. So obviously, great campus, great scenery, right on the river. There has to be other things going on that really
make you unique, right? So you've got different programs and things that you've set up for the residents. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. You already mentioned the Bunnies for Buddies, I think it was called, or whatever. But, you know, okay, that's one special thing coming in. But what else do you do for the residents?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have very unique programming for our facility that most other skilled nursing facilities do not have. We provide dental care. Our physical occupational speech therapy programs are top-notch with well-staffed programs. Our recreational program is second to none in the state, and that means of any type of healthcare facility. We offer our residents so many activities with bingo and weekly concerts and many different types of services, and they really do appreciate it. We have on-staff physicians, which other facilities, that's unheard of.
Right.
So it's a great operation, and it's very unique, and it's our mission to serve the residents of Minnesota, the veteran residents of Minnesota.
What I'm hearing you say is that if a resident wants to find something to do, there is something for them to do.
Absolutely. It's constant. It's almost overwhelming.
Yeah, I would imagine that camaraderie that's built, you know. So if Eric is a shy guy and just stays in his room, and Doug, I can tell you're an extroverted type of a guy, and you're his, he's in the room right next to you, you're probably grabbing him and saying, hey, let's go and check out this concert or do this thing over here. And then that really helps with that environment, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. Our residents like it there because they have a great lifestyle, and they can look forward to getting up every morning and have something fun to do that day or make choices of what they like to do.
Yeah, and I would imagine that, over the years, of course, you know, there's certain things that you want to be able to bring into the healthcare system, into the homes, and that might require additional funding then. So how do you get your funding to get the program set up to actually provide the care that our residents need?
Well, funding, about half of our funding comes from normal operations that all skilled nursing facilities do. The other funding comes from donations as well as through state government. So we are well funded, but we don't take that for granted. We definitely know that it's a privilege to get the funds we have, and we want to make good use of those in providing great care to our residents.
And I would imagine, you know, obviously the legislative season is wrapping up here. I would imagine that's something they really want to keep close ties on, because you do get some of that funding, and they want to make sure that you're spending it well and doing the things you need to do to provide the proper care and give the proper attention to our veterans.
Yes, actually one of our biggest needs on our campus right now is our domiciliary facility, which we have about 50 veteran residents who live in that facility. That's outside of the skilled nursing. That building is built in the 1970s and is in great need of a major renovation. And we're asking for $16 million from the government in order to make that facility the quality building that we want it to be with the rest of the campus.
Yeah. I want to ask you one more question. We've only got about 2 minutes, and I want to get to Eric for one final question as well. But we were talking before we started recording here about I think you called it the star rating. So
that's right.
Tell me a little bit about what that means and what people can expect because of that.
Yeah, the federal government or Medicare has come up with a 5-star rating for facilities. Most of the facilities in the veteran system are 4 or 5 stars. And our goal is always to be a 5-star. We want to be the best of the best, and I think we are the best of the best. Right now, our star rating is at 4, but it's only a matter of time and we'll be back to a 5-star again.
And you've only been there for 6 months, so
that's right.
We can't blame you yet.
Yeah,
on the other hand,
we're on an upward trajectory right now.
There you go. Well, good. Thank you. I want to close out with you, Eric. I joked with you a little bit about, you've been in the position for about a year, and, a lot has changed, 3 new homes. Of course, you're still doing some massive hiring. You're looking for those quality people that want to provide that care to our veterans. What's like that one or maybe 2 lessons learned over the last year? You were like, oh boy, I didn't think about that.
It's a great question, Doug. I think about those things every day. For me, this job on a daily basis reiterates that we have such a strong, important mission to serve our veterans, their families, in our communities, and we have the support that is necessary for us to be very successful in that. We're looking for the best people to come over to us and to help us out with that endeavor and join our mission.
Yeah, well, Doug, Eric, really appreciate you spending some time with us in the studio. Talk about our Minnesota Veterans Homes, and good luck with Veterans Homes Week. Get those bunnies out there so the people can pet them and see them and hold them and cuddle them. And I just wish you all the best as you move on in the future.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, that was Eric Maitinen and Doug Britton from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and in a moment, we're going to hear about Honor Flight Twin Cities, but first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. This is a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
Save the date for Minnesota Remembers, 50th anniversary commemoration of the Vietnam War, which will take place June 13th through the 15th at the Mall of America. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to host this special commemoration of the end of the Vietnam War. Our vision for this event is that Minnesota's Vietnam veterans will feel honored, respected, and appreciated, as well as actively make use of the resources available to them to improve their quality of life. The commemoration will provide an opportunity for healing by thanking and honoring Minnesota Vietnam era veterans, highlight the service of our armed forces during the Vietnam War, recognize the contributions and sacrifices made by allies of the United States during the Vietnam War, especially those who have made Minnesota their home. Those invited to the event include Vietnam veterans and their families, allies of the United States during the Vietnam War, and all Minnesotans who would like to thank our veterans. For more information, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org/Vietnam50.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio now is Jerry Kaiser. Jerry, deployed to Vietnam, is a two-time combat tour veteran. Jerry and his beloved wife of 47 years, Jana, started Honor Flight Twin Cities in 2008. Honor Flight Twin Cities is a hub of the National Honor Flight organization that is taken from a radius of 90 miles of the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, 1,564 World War II, 457 Korean War veterans, 48 Vietnam veterans, and 2,115 Guardians and Volunteers, totaling 4,130 souls on 24 different flights on Sun Country Airlines to Washington, D.C., to see the memorials and then honor those America's veterans for the sacrifices. Also, on February 22nd of 2024, Jerry was awarded the National U.S. Army Association's Exceptional Service Award for his dedication with his wife, Jana, to the well-being of his fellow veterans. Wow, what a pedigree. Jerry, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's an honor to be here. It's a second time or third time for us to talk about this.
Well, we, as you've already mentioned, we've had you on the show a couple of times, and we'll talk a little bit more about Honor Flight Twin Cities, but you've done just so many different things. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time to get into every little thing. So I want to hit on a couple of things with you, and we'll try to get everything into about the total of maybe 13, 14 minutes we're going to have together.
Fine.
But if we don't, well, then it's an excuse to get you back on the radio at another date. So let's get right after it. You started with doing some POW and MIA events. What was that, and how'd you get started in that?
Just honoring the POW MIAs in Minnesota that from World War II, Korea, and other, and actually in Vietnam too. There was a few of those. I was the president of the Vietnam Veterans of America at that particular time, and I filled in for a guy that was leaving from doing that, and we started doing that in after. Right, actually, 2001, that week when the airplanes hit the towers. We did the first one at the Minnesota Memorial, Vietnam Memorial for that.
Wow. And so you've been supporting veterans organizations, veteran initiatives for quite a while. And my understanding is that the reason why you started doing that is because your wife kind of pushed you into it a little bit.
Well, actually, what happened was is that I wasn't having the best time, fun with my business. And when 9/11 hit, I was distraught over what was going to happen to the young men and women in America because they're going to be at war. And I didn't want them to have the same thing happen to that happened to the Vietnam era veterans. So I said, she says, why don't you quit what you're doing and become a veterans advocate and fly airplanes and do the things that you do, do these aviation flyovers and POW stuff, and I can carry the load. And so I thought that that would be a fabulous idea. Unfortunately, she retired 9 years ago, and the sugar's gone. But we live on sugar cubes. It's just as much, but it's not as sweet.
So. Yeah, I bet it isn't. Well, you know, what a great thing, right, to have that support of your spouse. She pushes – I don't want to say pushes you, but she encouraged you to do this advocacy, and you get to do something that you love. I mean, when we were talking ahead of the show, you know, obviously there's a lot of care and compassion that comes out when we're talking and you're telling the stories about what you've done. And, you know, you did mention that you are a pilot as well. And so what exactly is a warbird pilot and how did you get rolling in that?
Well, I in 1975, when I got out of the college finally again, I thought I could get a job in the airlines because I was a commercially rated pilot and had all the certificates. Unfortunately, I only had 350 hours and all the helicopter pilots and jet pilots got all the jobs. So I thought I would just purchase another airplane myself and get into aerial photography. And that was struggling pretty good. So, but I still have that same airplane. And that's how I got involved into aviation. And I decided to start doing aviation flyovers with some of the guys who were the Commemorative Air Force that I was involved with there. And I started to learn how to fly a L-5, which is a World War II aircraft, which is a liaison aircraft and a spotter plane. And then I went into the BT-13, which is a trainer from all the World War II guys. And my father was a World War II infantry officer, but I loved flying. It was a great way. In Vietnam, I was an aviation person, and I saw the war from the air, which is a lot better than being on the ground.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. So flying, you started these flyovers. When was the first flyover you did?
Well, the first big one was we were doing it with the Missy Man Formation flyovers. I facilitate them. I didn't have the big airplanes to do that. Those are T-6 trainers. And my friends who were involved with that, the T-6 Thunder guys, but I'd ride along and we'd facilitate that. But the first one was the big one, was 30 aircraft flying over the World War II Memorial that was started in 2007. And a person with the honor flight was there, and he contacted me for possibly starting an honor flight in Minnesota. And I says, what's that?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about honor flight in just a minute here, but I'm just interested to know, you started the flyovers, and were you initially flying single, like you were just the only one, or did you always start bringing a group of other aircraft with you?
Well, I didn't have the license or the money to have a T-6 Thunder or a B-25 bomber or any of that stuff, but my buddies did from all around them.
Yeah.
North Dakota, South Dakota, some in Canada, and we could put that together, get it going up in Anoka, and then winging it down right over the top of the Capitol and other places. And then a couple hundred flyovers, Missing Man Formation flyovers with these guys that have those airplanes at Fort Snelling.
Yeah, so you obviously have a love for aviation. You have a love for our veterans. And what better way to honor, in my opinion, than to have these fantastic flyovers. I mean, that's always a highlight for these veteran-type events or, you know, even big sporting events.
It is great. See that that thunder of those big iron engines firing away, and it brings back where these gentlemen or ladies were, wherever they were. They always have airplanes flying over.
So we have just, like, maybe 45 seconds here, but so are you still flying right now?
Well, unfortunately, I had to have a triple bypass surgery, and I was poisoned by the federal government 52 years ago, and it finally caught up with me. But at least I paid for the medical already.
Yeah, so, well, we know that you're getting ready. We'll talk about when the next big flight is coming. We'll do that in the next segment. But But, you know, even though you're not flying right now, you're still working at getting the orchestrating, I guess, these events, and you'll continue doing so as long as you can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Honor Flight Twin Cities. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I've got Jerry Kaiser with me in the studio, and we're talking about Honor Flight Twin Cities. And Jerry, in the last segment, obviously we were talking about kind of your history and what you fly, and you're not flying right now, but you're going to hopefully fly some more in the future. And I want to let you tell everybody when the next big event is, but before we do that, what I'd really like to know is, back in 2008, when you started Honor Flight Twin Cities, what was your motivation? Why did you want to start that? Other than you were out in D.C. and someone asked you and said, hey, do you want to be a part of this organization? But why did you really want to do this?
It was to honor these young men and women who have come back that were ill-treated. I was not. And I knew so many people who were just spared, spit on, hollered at, just retreated like they were not in charge of what happened over there. And the public and whoever these people were, they decided to blame the soldier and not the politicians. That's who they should have been, politicians. So many men were so distraught, and they are still having trouble. The suicides and the trouble with alcohol and drugs and I'm sorry that they're older now. I mean, I'm 79 years old, and I don't drink or smoke or go with girls who do. And it's
but Jana wouldn't let you anyway. So.
No, that's right. You know, I was married a widow of a Vietnam combat veteran, and he didn't do well, and he passed away. But that's why we got together, and I wanted to do this to be able to give these men and women just that little bit of feeling that they are a big deal. They did the best that they could do. And that is the joy that I have. And I see these men, they come back with a grin on their face, and they're just so proud that they're able to go there. And people treat them like five-star generals. They salute them. They want to stop and take pictures with them, with their kids. And it's just, I love it.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, you've obviously brought a lot of people out there already, and for many of these veterans, especially our World War II veterans, this is the first time that they've seen that just fantastic memorial put together for them out in D.C.
That's right. Obviously, there's not many left. I only have one on this next flight, only one, and he did both World War II and Korea.
Wow, so we're going to talk about that next flight, but there's a lot that goes into it. We already mentioned Sun Country, but what does it take to put this together?
Well, it wouldn't have happened if it wouldn't have been for my blessed wife. She was a great administrator in her company. She was the director of a large company, had a lot of employees, and she and I put together a group of great volunteers to help us do this. It takes a lot of effort. The money that cost for the airplanes have went from $37,000 for a 737 to $86,000 for the same airplane 15 years later. The next one's going to cost even more. That's why we think it's going to take us a while to get the money to do that too. But it's the group. We have about 20 people that work on this to help us all put it together.
And so you were mentioning, obviously, the cost is one of your one of the big factors, right, on whether or not you can continue to do this. And you had said that you're planning on about $200,000 you're going to need to raise in order to do the next flight. And when is that next flight?
Well, our current flight is going to be on May 6th.
So we got a flight coming up May 6th.
That's right. So we want people to come out there it'll be packed at 10 o'clock at night at Terminal 2, but we have a band out there, bagpipers. We give these men and women who are on this, one woman and the rest are guys, just the greatest day in their life, and that's what I want them to have. They come back and they just feel like $1 million.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, that planning is basically done. I mean, the logistics are taken care of. You know, there's a lot of effort that goes into it. You're raising the funds still.
Well, I tell you this. guy says, who does your fundraising? I says, well, you know, it is comes from individuals and corporations and funds. The good Lord Jesus does their fundraising. We just cash the checks. I mean, it is a spiritual, emotional day. And the good Lord helps us all these years. And I'm just so blessed about all the people that help us and individuals and corporations and VFWs, American Legions, civic organizations. They all pitch it in to do it. And that's what we're going to be working on to do.
If the good Lord is touching someone right now to make a donation to help out Honor Flight Twin Cities, how would they do it?
HonorFlightTwinCities.org. You go to that website, and I help tell them to cut a check instead of have it sent through PayPal because they charge us 3%.
There you go.
But we've taken in, a week ago, we just got $2,500 from a family whose father had went and passed away, and he left that much money for us to do another honor flight.
Well, Jerry, I really appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us and sharing with us Honor Flight Twin Cities. I hope you continue, keep going on, get that money going, and we just appreciate you spending some time with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's an honor. You guys do a great job, and our objective is to do what you're doing.
Joining us now from the flag line is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's always an honor.
Hey, Tim, great to hear your voice again. And, you know, one of these days we're going to get you in the studio, and we have more than just a couple of minutes of time to spend with you. But, you know, I'm looking out the studio window right now. The sun is out. The weather's beautiful. And I have to imagine that if you haven't already started, you guys are really itching to get out and get on them bikes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been on the bike for a couple of weeks already. But, yeah, and it really doesn't keep us from coming to missions. It's not bad if it's not good weather. We have our cages, and we like to just be there. So don't think we can't come if it's not bad or good weather.
Yeah, now, do you have any safety concerns right now? I mean, I know with the spring, right? I mean, as that, we didn't really have much of a winter, but, you know, how are the road conditions for you right now?
Oh, they're not bad. People always worry about sand and things like that, and you have to worry about that every day you ride.
Yeah. Well, I know that you love going to the missions. You talk about honor. You talk about dignity. You talk about respect and just that level of care and compassion that you have for those who served. And I know that it takes a lot to do that. I mean, obviously, you got to have that place in your heart for our service members, for their families to support them. It takes a pretty big crew to be able to support all of the different events that you have going on throughout the state. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, how people can support the Patriot Guard and get involved with the Patriot Guard. What are you looking for?
Well, actually, the Patriot Guard really isn't a support group. What we are is we just want to make sure that all the military, everybody that gave, and military and first responders, that gave their lives for our freedom. It's not really a matter of honor, dignity, and respect. It's more appreciation. We as a people need to appreciate all that everybody has given to make it so that we have the lives we have.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And, I would imagine that if it was possible and a family requests you to come out to an event, let's just say a funeral, right? We're putting that veteran, that service member, or first responder in their final resting spot. I would imagine from your perspective, having 20 people there because you've got that number of volunteers available would be nicer than just two people. So I would imagine you're also looking for volunteers still.
Yep. When I was running missions, I would always guarantee the people that there would I could only guarantee that there'd be one person there. That'd be myself.
Yeah.
And the Patriot Guard never let me down. One time I told a person it was a mission. They gave me they called me the night before, and I said I can't guarantee that I can get a hold of anybody, but I will be there. I'll put the word out, and I come rolling over the hill towards the funeral home, and when I got there, there was already 20 people there.
Wow, what a testament to the team that you've got. And so, Tim, if somebody hasn't heard about, or maybe now the timing is right for them, where they'd like to step up and maybe sign up and be able to come out and help you. I know they need a 3x5 flag, but what else do they need to do to get connected with you?
Just to be self-sufficient. You know, if it's cold out, bring some cold weather clothes. If it's warm out, dress for it. You know, bring water, bring a snack if you need a snack. 3x5 flag and your heart, and that's pretty much all we need.
So where do we send them to, Tim, to get that information? How can they sign up with you?
Okay, actually, if you just go to the webpage, mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side, it'll say join. Just click on that and just follow all the instructions, and we really just need your email address so that we can send you information about what we call missions.
Well, it's as simple as that. Yeah, it sounds great. Let's get some more people supporting the Patriot Guard and continue to honor those who have served. Tim, I want to say thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
I appreciate it.
You have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you.
We're just about out of time. I'd like to let you know that this show is for you. If you have suggestions about different topics we should cover, or if you have some additional feedback, please let us know at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. And then click on Contact Us. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Eric Maitinen, Doug Britton, Jerry Kaiser, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Brad Lindsay of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us again next week when we play a special live recording from the Armed Forces Hockey Tournament. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week, and you find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.